Welcome to The Deep Dive, the show where we really get into the weeds, take a whole stack of information, and pull out the key insights for you.
Yeah, unpack it all.
Exactly. And today, we're diving deep into a topic that's, well, fundamentally reshaped how we think about protecting our digital lives. Cybersecurity. Specifically, we're going to explore this world through the lens of a really pioneering company called Zscaler, Inc.
It's a great one to focus on. Because, you know, it's a truly crucial subject. For decades, our whole approach to digital security was built on a very familiar model, almost intuitive.
Right, the castle thing.
Exactly, the castle. You imagine a medieval castle, deep moat, thick walls, that big drawbridge.
Right.
And in digital terms, well, those were your firewalls, your VPNs, virtual private networks.
Uh-huh.
And the assumption, the core assumption was, if you got past that perimeter, you know, made it inside the castle walls, you were basically in a safe zone. A trusted zone.
She's solid enough back then, I guess.
Yeah. It sounded solid, right? But the digital world, I mean, it's transformed so rapidly, especially over the last, say, two decades.
Yeah.
It's made that whole castle and moat idea not just outdated, but frankly, completely obsolete.
Yeah.
We're talking about the explosion of cloud computing, right? SaaS, IaaS, Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Then remote work becoming the norm. Applications living literally everywhere. So what happens when your castle suddenly extends to every coffee shop, every home office, every personal phone globally?
The walls just crumble.
Exactly. Suddenly that moat is gone, the walls are meaningless, and the drawbridge is basically stuck down.
Yeah, the perimeter, it's effectively vanished. And that's precisely where a company like Zscaler comes in, isn't it? They're not just, you know, another cybersecurity firm in what's a really crowded market.
No, not at all.
They are, from what I understand, a true pioneering force. They're driving this fundamental architectural shift away from that old perimeter-based security model to something entirely new. A cloud-native, zero-trust architecture.
That's the term, zero-trust.
So our mission today is to take a proper deep dive into an in-depth investment analysis of Zscaler. We'll unpack how they not only saw this huge shift coming, but how they've actually established themselves as, well, clear leaders in the space.
Yeah, look at their tech, their financials.
Right. We'll explore their technology, which sounds pretty cutting edge, delve into their financials, which look impressive, and examine the intense competitive battleground that is modern cybersecurity. It's fierce out there.
Oh, it is. And we've got a really comprehensive report to guide us today, giving us that holistic view. It meticulously dissects Zscaler's business model, which is quite innovative, its competitive standing in this dynamic market, its financial performance, those aggressive growth plans, and of course you have to look at the risks, the multifaceted risks they face.
Definitely.
This deep dive, I think it promises some real aha moments about why modern security has to look so fundamentally different from what we may be used to imagine.
Okay, let's do it. Let's unpack this. Starting with how digital security just had to be completely redefined. That old castle and moat model, it seemed strong on paper, right? All those layers of defense. But why did it fail so spectacularly in practice? Why did we need this whole rethinking?
Well, it failed because the entire foundation it was built on just disappeared.
Right.
The assumptions changed completely. The old model, I mean, it worked okay for a time, but it assumed all your important stuff, your applicant, your sensitive data, was safely tucked away inside your trusted corporate data center.
Right. Physically inside.
Physically inside.
Yeah.
And users, they would access this stuff from within a clearly defined, controlled corporate network. Firewalls were the guards at the gate. And those VPNs, the virtual private networks, they were like the secure drawbridges for your remote employees to get back inside.
Okay.
And that system worked, or at least it seemed to work, when everything was neatly contained, centralized, you know, within the organization's physical boundaries.
But then, boom, cloud computing arrived. Software as a service, SaaS, where you just access apps over the internet. Then IaaS, infrastructure as a service for cloud computing power. PaaS, platform as a service. Suddenly your critical applications weren't just in your data center anymore.
They were everywhere, hosted by third parties, scattered across the internet, and your workforce. Forget just the office. They were accessing these distributed apps from home, airports, coffee shops, literally anywhere with an internet connection.
So that traditional perimeter, it just dissolved. It became a million different connection points.
Exactly. It vanished. And trying to secure this new reality by backhauling all that traffic, you know, forcing remote users and cloud app traffic all the way back through a central corporate data center and then out to the internet was just incredibly inefficient.
Slowed everything down, right? Right. Terrible user experience.
Terrible user experience, frustrating delays. And maybe most critically, it was dangerously insecure. The core, The fatal flaw was this. Once a threat actor, a hacker, managed to breach that old perimeter, maybe through a dodgy VPN or a badly configured firewall, they were effectively inside what the system considered a trusted network.
And once they're inside,
they could move laterally, just wander around the network totally undetected with startling ease. And that led to these catastrophic breaches we hear about, widespread ransomware attacks, encrypting entire networks, stealing massive amounts of data. It's exactly like your analogy. A thief gets past the castle's front door and suddenly has free reign of the entire house. No internal locks, no alarms, nobody questioning why they're wandering into the treasury.
That is terrifying. And that specific vulnerability, that lateral movement once inside, that's what Zscaler really set out to solve from the beginning.
That was the core problem they tackled. So back in 2007, Zscaler was founded on this, well, visionary premise at the time. Mm. Security must fundamentally follow the user and the application. It can't be tied to a physical network that, like you said, basically doesn't exist in a meaningful way anymore.
Right.
And this radical insight led them to pioneer what they call zero trust.
Zero trust. Okay, explain that. What's the core idea?
Yeah, the foundational concept, the principle of zero trust. It sounds deceptively simple, but its implications are just incredibly powerful. It's never trust, always verify.
Never trust, always verify.
It means you don't automatically grant trust to anyone or anything. It doesn't matter if they seem to be inside or outside your old network perimeter. Every single connection attempt from every user, every device trying to reach every application, has to be rigorously verified before any access is granted.
Even if they connected successfully just 5 minutes ago.
Even then, every time. The default posture is suspicion. You have to prove who you are and that you should have access every single time.
Okay, so conceptually, never trust, always verify, I get it. But how does that actually work in practice, especially when you're talking about a huge global company with thousands, maybe millions of connection attempts happening constantly? That's where Zscaler's core tech comes in, right? The Zero Trust Exchange, or ZTE platform.
That's the heart of it, the ZTE.
I've heard it described using an analogy like a global switchboard. Can you unpack that? How does it actually operate?
The global switchboard analogy is actually pretty good. Imagine this massive, globally distributed, intelligent, and super secure digital switchboard sitting in the cloud. That's basically the ZTE.
Okay.
It's designed specifically to securely connect authorized users and their devices directly to the specific applications they need. Doesn't matter if those apps are in your own data center or out in a public cloud like AWS or Azure.
Directly to the app, not onto the network first.
Critically, yes. And this is a fundamental architectural difference from the old way. It never puts the user on the corporate network itself. Never. This inside-out connection model, as they call it, means your internal applications are basically invisible to the public internet.
Ah, so you eliminate that external attack surface. Hackers can't attack what they can't see.
Exactly. And it also fundamentally prevents that lateral threat movement we talked about.
Yeah.
Because users are never granted broad network access, they only connect directly to the specific resource they're authorized for that specific session. It's a total shift from get on the network, then find your stuff to prove who you are. We'll connect you directly and only to what you need. Very granular.
So it's like a valet service for data access, maybe? Taking you straight to your destination, not just giving you the keys to the whole parking garage.
Oh, I like that. A secure valet service, yeah. And this incredibly complex, globally distributed platform, it operates with what Zscaler describes as a three-plane architecture. You mentioned it earlier, kind of like a brain, inspection points, and a recorder.
Right. So can you elaborate on how those three parts work together to deliver the security?
Sure. So first, you've got the control plane. Think of this as the brain, the central nervous system of the whole Zero Trust Exchange. This is where all the intelligence lives. Centralized policy configuration. Who can access what, under which conditions, software updates for the whole platform, and critically, the continuous ingestion and distribution of global threat intelligence.
So it knows about the latest threats everywhere.
Instantly. It ensures that every user, no matter where they are in the world, London, Tokyo, New York, gets consistent security policy enforcement based on the absolute latest threat data. It's like the conductor of the orchestra making sure everyone's playing from the same up-to-the-millisecond sheet music.
Okay, that's the brain, the control plane. Then the actual inspection and enforcement that happens at the data plane. How does that work globally without slowing things down?
Precisely. The data plane consists of the Zscaler enforcement nodes, or ZENs. Think of these as the inspection points, or maybe those secure customs checkpoints at the border. They are strategically distributed across more than 150 data centers worldwide.
150 plus data centers. Wow.
Yeah, it makes Zscaler's platform the largest security cloud on the planet. So when your user traffic needs to be inspected, whether it's heading to the public internet or an internal private app, it's automatically routed to the nearest CDN. This is key for minimizing latency, keeping things fast for the user.
And what happens at that ZN?
What's absolutely critical here is their proxy-based architecture. This isn't like a traditional firewall that might just pass traffic through with some checks. Zscaler's ZENs terminate every single connection.
Terminate? What does that mean exactly?
It means the connection stops there. Every packet of data has to land, be fully opened up, thoroughly inspected, have its identity and purpose verified before it's allowed to proceed, potentially in a new secure connection initiated by the ZN. This deep inspection allows them to look inside all traffic, including fully encrypted SSL TLS traffic.
Okay, that's the SSL TLS inspection point. That seems huge. I remember reading that traditional firewalls often have to just wave encrypted traffic through because inspecting it slows them down too much.
You've nailed it. That's a massive security gap in older architectures. It's a fundamental limitation for many legacy firewalls. Trying to decrypt and inspect all encrypted traffic often causes severe performance problems. Or worse, they just choose to bypass it entirely to keep network speeds up.
Which sounds like leaving the back door wide open.
It basically is. It creates this enormous blind spot where really nasty threats, malware, command and control signals back to hackers, sensitive data being smuggled out, can pass completely undetected, hidden inside those encrypted tunnels.
So Zscaler's design avoids that trade-off.
Fundamentally. Their proxy architecture was built from the ground up, specifically to handle 100% inspection of all traffic, including SSL TLS, at massive scale, without that performance hit. It's a significant competitive advantage and a critical differentiator. It provides a level of security visibility that older methods just can't achieve.
Okay, so the connection hits a ZN, it gets terminated, opened up, inspected. What happens then? You mentioned a four-step process for every connection.
Yes, for every single connection attempt, Zscaler applies this rigorous dynamic four-step process every time. First, verify identity. This is all about who are you and what device are you using. They integrate deeply with identity providers, think Okta, Azure AD, Ping Identity, to make sure only legitimate users on devices that meet security standards are even trying to get access.
Step one. Check the ID and the vehicle, basically.
Exactly. Step two, determine destination. Okay, where are you trying to go? What application or website is your target? This gives the policy engine the context it needs.
And then step three is where the real-time intelligence comes in, assessing the risk.
Precisely. Step three, assess risk. This is where Zscaler's advanced AI machine learning models kick in. And they are trained on just an almost unbelievable amount of data, over 500 trillion signals processed daily.
500 trillion daily?
Daily.
Yeah.
This includes everything: new malware signatures, suspicious domain patterns, user behavior anomalies detected across their entire global customer base. This massive intelligence pool allows them to evaluate the real-time risk based on the context. Is this user's behavior unusual? Is their device suddenly non-compliant? Are they trying to access super sensitive data from, say, an unsecured Wi-Fi network in a cafe?
Okay, so it's context-aware risk assessment and the final step.
Step four, enforce policy. Based on that real-time assessment of identity, destination, and risk, the platform dynamically decides what to do. It can allow the connection, block it completely, isolate it in a secure browser environment if it looks risky but might be legitimate, or even actively deceive a potential attacker by showing them a fake login page or resource. It's a dynamic, adaptive, always-on security posture that reacts in milliseconds.
That is a phenomenal level of scrutiny on every single connection. Okay, let's shift gears slightly. Let's talk about Zscaler's business model and where they sit in the market, especially this whole SaaS secure access service edge thing. What are the core products Zscaler actually sells?
Right. So they operate on a pure software as a service or SaaS model, all subscription revenue, typically sold per user, per year, often on multi-year deals, which gives them really strong recurring revenue and good visibility.
Makes sense for enterprise software. What's the main product?
Their flagship product, the one they really built their name on, is Zscaler Internet Access, or ZIA. Think of it as the ultimate secure web gateway for the cloud era.
Secure web gateway, like a super firewall for internet traffic.
Kind of, but much more. It's designed for secure, fast, direct access to the public internet and all your SaaS apps, think Microsoft 365, Salesforce, Workday, all that stuff. Yeah. But what's really crucial is that ZIA consolidates a whole bunch of legacy security point products.
Consolidates, like what?
Things like traditional cloud firewalls, advanced threat protection systems, sandboxing tools to analyze unknown files, CASB cloud access security broker functionality to enforce policies on cloud apps, and DLP data loss prevention to stop sensitive data from leaking out. ZIA rolls all of that and more into one integrated cloud service.
Okay, so ZIA is about securing access out to the internet and SaaS apps and simplifying that messy security stack we used to have. What about securing access to a company's private applications?
That's the other main pillar. Zscaler Private Access, or ZPA.
ZPA.
This is their Zero Trust Network Access ZTNA solution. And it's the true modern replacement for those old, clunky, insecure VPNs we were talking about earlier, the flawed drawbridges.
Right. So how does ZPA work differently?
With ZPA, users get secure, direct access to internal applications, maybe running in your own data center or in a private cloud, but, and this is the key part again, without ever being placed on the broader corporate network.
Ah, so it connects users straight to app, bypasses the network itself.
Exactly. Which completely eliminates that risk of lateral threat movement. If a bad actor compromises a user's laptop, they can't use that foothold to scan the internal network and jump to other servers or databases because the user was never on the network in the first place.
Right.
They only have a connection to the specific app they needed, nothing else.
That seems like a fundamental improvement over VPNs. So ZIA for external access, ZPA for internal access. Are those the only two main things?
Those are the core pillars. But they've been aggressively building out an expanded platform solutions suite around them. They're not standing still.
Okay, like what else? What are the new frontiers for them?
Well, a big one is data security. This is becoming incredibly important, especially with the rise of generative AI. Companies are terrified of their sensitive data leaking into public AI models. Zscaler is adding capabilities to track, classify, and protect data wherever it goes.
Yeah, I can see why that's huge right now.
Definitely. Then there's Zero Trust for branch and cloud. This extends the Zero Trust model beyond just users to secure entire branch offices, factories, retail locations, and even the communication between different cloud workloads or servers.
Securing server-to-server traffic, too? Okay.
And another really interesting one is Zscaler Digital Experience, or ZDX. This is fascinating because it actually moves Zscaler's relevance beyond just the security team, the CISO, and makes it really valuable to the CIO, the Chief Information Officer.
How so? What does ZDX do?
ZDX provides end-to-end visibility into application and network performance from the user's perspective. So if someone complains that, say, Microsoft Teams is slow, ZDX can help IT figure out why. Is it the user's laptop, their home Wi-Fi, the corporate network, the internet path? Or is it actually an issue with Microsoft service? It helps diagnose those it's slow problems much faster.
Ah, so it's shifting from pure security to IT operations and user experience. That's a smart expansion.
Very smart. And finally, they're building out capabilities in security operations, things like risk quantification and advanced threat management, helping security teams make better decisions faster.
That's a seriously broad platform now. Given that, who are they selling this to? And how do they actually get these complex solutions into these massive organizations?
Their go-to-market strategy is very clearly focused. They target large enterprises and government agencies, the biggest organizations in the world. We're talking about roughly 45% of the Fortune 500 companies. Over 35% of the Global 2000 are already using Zscaler in some capacity.
Those are huge numbers. Any specific customer metrics?
Yeah, as of their third quarter for fiscal year 2025, they reported having 642 customers spending over $1 million a year with them in annual recurring revenue, ARR, and over 3,300 customers spending over $100,000 a year. So deep penetration into the big spenders.
Okay, so they land these big fish. How do they grow the account once they're in? Is it that land and expand model?
Absolutely. The land and expand flywheel is completely central to their growth engine. The typical sales motion is land a new customer with one of the core pillars, often ZIA, to solve an immediate pain point, maybe securing remote workers or getting rid of costly old hardware appliances.
Get a foothold.
Exactly. Prove the value quickly.
Yeah.
Then, once the platform is embedded and the customer sees the benefits, their sales and customer success teams work to expand the relationship. This means upselling more features within ZIA, maybe adding advanced threat protection or data loss prevention, and, crucially, cross-selling the other pillars.
Like adding ZPA to replace their VPNs or UDX for that performance monitoring?
Precisely. Or the new data protection suite. And the success of this strategy is really clear in their dollar-based net retention rate, or NRR. It is 114% in Q3 FY25.
114%. NRR. What does that mean in plain English?
It means that, on average, their existing customers from 1 year ago increased their spending with Zscaler by 14% over the following year. So even if they didn't sign a single new customer, they'd still grow just from their existing base spending more. It's a powerful, efficient growth engine.
Wow, okay. That's impressive organic growth. Do they do all this selling themselves directly, or do they use partners? Selling to global giants sounds complex.
They rely heavily on partners. It's primarily a channel-driven sales model. They work very closely with global system integrators, SIs, value-added resellers, VARs, and managed service providers, MSPs. These partners provide the scale, the local market expertise, the implementation services, and the ongoing support needed to effectively sell to and manage these huge, geographically dispersed enterprise customers. It's a crucial force multiplier for their own sales team.
Makes sense. Okay, let's zoom out again to the wider market. You mentioned SASE earlier, Secure Access Service Edge. Can you just quickly recap what that is and how Zscaler fits into that picture?
Sure. So remember, zero trust is the strategy. Never trust, always verify. SANCS, the term Gartner coined, is really the architectural blueprint for implementing zero trust in today's world. Cloud native, mobile first. SaaS fundamentally converges networking services, like SD-WAN and security services, into a single cloud-delivered service model.
Networking and security together in the cloud.
Right. Now, Zscaler primarily operates in the security service edge, or SSE, component of SaaS. SSE specifically includes those core cloud security functions, Secure Web Gateway, SWG, Cloud Access Security Broker, CASB, and Zero Trust Network Access, the ZTNA. Zscaler is not just playing in SaaS, they're widely recognized as a leader, essentially providing the crucial security half of the SASE equation.
Got it. SSE is the security part of SaaS and the market for all this. Zero trust, SaaS, SASE. It's growing incredibly fast, isn't it? What kind of numbers are we talking about?
Oh, the numbers are staggering. The overall zero trust security market was estimated somewhere in the $31 to $36 billion range globally in 2023-24. And projections, they suggest it could exceed $100 billion by the early 2030s. That's growing at roughly a 16-17% compound annual growth rate, CAGR.
$100 billion, wow. And SaaS itself.
Here is, as the specific market category is smaller today, maybe $1.7 to $3.8 billion, depending on the estimate, but it's growing even faster. Projections there are for 24% to 36% CAGR. That could put the SaaS market somewhere between $17 billion and $27 billion by 2030-2032. This isn't just incremental spending. It's a fundamental replatforming of how enterprises do IT security and networking.
So what's really pushing this massive shift? What are the big long-term trends, the secular tailwinds driving organizations towards zero trust and SASE?
The tailwinds are incredibly powerful, and they're not going away. First, the fundamental irreversible shift of enterprise applications to the cloud. Second, the normalization of hybrid and remote work. Work is an activity, not a place anymore. Third, the sheer volume and sophistication of cyber threats keeps escalating. Ransomware, nation-state attacks, supply chain compromises.
Those want tons of headlines.
Exactly. And finally, there's a strong strategic push from CIOs and CISOs to simplify their incredibly complex IT infrastructure and consolidate the dozens, sometimes hundreds, of security vendors they manage. All these forces are pushing organizations away from those legacy perimeter-based architectures and firmly towards zero trust and SASE. It's gone from being a nice-to-have for forward-thinking companies to a strategic necessity for pretty much everyone.
Okay, it's a huge growing market driven by powerful trends. But what protects Zscaler within that market? What are their competitive moats? What makes it hard for others to just come in and eat their lunch?
That's a great question. There are three really significant moats that protect Zscaler's leadership position and create pretty high barriers to entry. First, and maybe the most obvious one, is their global infrastructure at scale.
Those 150-plus data centers you mentioned.
Exactly. Building, and just as importantly, maintaining a global network of over 150 strategically located data centers, processing over 500 billion transactions every single day. That requires enormous capital investment and just incredible operational expertise. A new company can't just spin that up overnight. It's a massive physical distributed backbone that's essential for delivering that low latency performance and consistent security globally.
So the sheer cost and complexity of the physical infrastructure is moat number one. What's number two?
The second is a really powerful data-driven network effect. Zscaler calls it the cloud effect. Remember those 500 trillion plus signals they process daily? Their AI and machine learning models are constantly learning from that massive real-time data flow.
Okay. So how does that become a network effect?
Here's the magic. If Zscaler detects a brand new threat, a new piece of malware, a novel phishing attack, a compromised website targeting just one customer anywhere in the world, that threat intelligence is instantly shared across the entire global platform. Within seconds or minutes, all other Zscaler customers are automatically protected from that same threat, often before they even encounter it.
Ah, so the more customers they have, the more data they see.
The smarter their platform gets, the better the security becomes for everyone.
Which attracts more customers who bring more data. Wow, that's a classic virtuous cycle, a self-reinforcing security advantage.
Exactly. It's incredibly powerful and very difficult for competitors, especially smaller ones, to replicate that scale of real-time global threat intelligence.
Okay, huge infrastructure, powerful network effect.
Uh-huh.
What's the third moat? What keeps customers from leaving once they're on the platform?
That would be high customer switching costs. Zscaler isn't just another app you install. It becomes deeply embedded in the customer's core IT and security infrastructure. Once an enterprise decides to route all its internet and application traffic through the Zero Trust Exchange, and they redesign their security policies, their network architecture, their user access workflows around Zscaler.
Ripping it out would be a nightmare.
A massive nightmare. The cost, the sheer operational complexity, and the inherent security risk involved in switching to a competitor become prohibitively high. It's not like changing your email provider. It's more like changing the entire electrical grid of your company. Morningstar, the investment research firm, actually assigned Zscaler a narrow economic moat, specifically because of these very high switching costs. Once you're in, you tend to stay in.
Okay, strong moats. Infrastructure scale, data network effects, high switching costs. But even with those, you said it earlier, cybersecurity is a fierce battleground. These platform wars are real. So who are Zscaler's main rivals, and how do they position themselves differently? Let's start with the big one, Zscaler versus Palo Alto Networks. That seems like the central SaaS fight.
It really is the marquee matchup right now. Zscaler's position is fundamentally built on what they argue is their architectural superiority. They say, we purpose-built our multi-tenant proxy cloud for the cloud era. It's fundamentally better for delivering cloud-native security.
Yeah.
They often characterize Palo Alto Networks' approach, Prisma SASE, as being more legacy firewall-centric.
Meaning
they see it as essentially virtualized versions of Palo Alto's traditional hardware firewalls running in the cloud. Zscaler argues this approach is less efficient, less scalable, and particularly struggles with inspecting all that encrypted SSL TLS traffic we discussed without performance hits. Zscaler pitches itself as the pure-play specialist, born in the cloud, architecturally superior for this new world.
Okay, that's Zscaler's pitch. We're built right. What's Palo Alto Networks' counter-argument? They're a huge, successful security company.
Absolutely. Palo Alto Networks' stance leverages two massive strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Their enormous existing installed base of firewall customers and their much broader security portfolio that covers endpoint, cloud, network security operations, the works. They pitch Prisma SASE as a unified single-vendor platform.
The one-stop shop argument.
Exactly. They say, why stitch together different vendors? We can secure your entire enterprise, branch, cloud, mobile user with one integrated platform, one management console, one set of policies. That the proposition is simplification, integration, leveraging your existing relationship with them. It's an all-in-one ecosystem play.
So for a customer, it really boils down to a strategic choice, doesn't it? Do you go for the perceived best-of-breed cloud-native specialist like Zscaler, focusing purely on that SSE piece? Or do you opt for the integrated ecosystem, the single pane of glass, from a security giant like Palo Alto Networks?
That's precisely the dilemma many large organizations face. The choice often depends on their existing infrastructure. Are they already a big Palo Alto shop? It depends on their strategic priorities. Is cloud-native performance paramount? Or is vendor consolidation the main goal? And frankly, their appetite for managing multiple best-of-breed vendors versus relying on one strategic partner. There's no single right answer. It's context-dependent.
Okay, what about Fortinet? They're another big player in network security. How do they compete with Zscaler in this SaaS world?
Fortinet is definitely another major competitor with our FortiSaaS offering. Fortinet's strength often lies in its security fabric approach, trying to integrate security across many different points in the network and infrastructure. They're also known for often being very competitive on price, offering broad consolidation potentially at a lower cost point. This appeals particularly to organizations that prioritize cost effectiveness and have a lot of Fortinet gear already deployed, maybe in their branch offices.
So integrated ecosystem, potentially better price point. How does Zscaler differentiate against that?
Zscaler is generally perceived in the market as the dedicated pioneer, the specialist focused purely on cloud-delivered zero trust. They built this category. While Fortinet has strong capabilities, especially integrating hardware and software, Zscaler often wins on the perception of being the best at pure cloud security. User reviews, for instance, frequently show Zscaler scoring higher, specifically for cloud security service and support, while Fortinet might be seen as stronger in hybrid environments with lots of hardware. Again, it's a choice. Zscaler's specialized cloud-native service versus Fortinet's broader, more integrated hardware-software fabric.
Got it. Now, here's a question that comes up a lot. Zscaler and CrowdStrike. People see both names constantly in cybersecurity news. Are they rivals, or is the relationship different?
That's a really important distinction to make. Zscaler and CrowdStrike are fundamentally partners, not rivals. They operate at different but highly complementary layers of the security stack.
Okay, explain that. Different layers.
Think of it like this. Zscaler secures the pipes. They protect the network traffic, the access pathways between users and applications, the flow of data. CrowdStrike, on the other hand, secures the endpoints. They protect the actual devices themselves, your laptop, your server, your mobile phone, from malware, exploits, and intrusions happening on the device.
Ah, okay. Zscaler guards the roads. CrowdStrike guards the cars traveling on them.
That's a pretty good analogy, yeah. And a truly comprehensive, effective zero trust strategy absolutely needs both. You need to secure the pathways and the devices trying to use those pathways.
So if they're partners, how does that work in practice? How does their integration actually help customers?
The integration between their platforms is actually a significant value proposition, a real force multiplier for security teams. Zscaler Zero Trust Exchange can pull in real-time security posture data directly from CrowdStrike's Falcon agent running on the endpoint device.
So Zscaler knows if CrowdStrike thinks a device is healthy or not.
Exactly. And this allows for incredibly powerful, context-aware access policies. For example, let's say CrowdStrike detects malware on a specific user's laptop or sees it's missing critical security patches. CrowdStrike flags it as compromised or non-compliant. Zscaler sees that flag instantly and can automatically block that specific device's access to sensitive corporate applications, even if the user's credentials are valid.
Wow, so it stops a potentially compromised device from spreading infection or stealing data.
Precisely. It creates this closed-loop security response. An alert from the endpoint security system, CrowdStrike, triggers an automated preventive action in the network access system, Zscaler. It automates protection and significantly strengthens the overall security posture in a way that standalone systems can't easily match. It's a great example of 1+1=3 in security.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, one more competitor category. What about the huge hyperscale cloud providers, AWS, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud? They all offer their own security tools now. Are they a long-term threat to a specialist like Zscaler?
That's the perennial question, isn't it? The hyperscalers are increasingly offering their own native security tools, and those tools are getting better all the time. However, right now, they're generally perceived as being most effective within their own cloud ecosystems, securing stuff running in AWS or in Azure or in GCP.
So they're good inside their own walled gardens.
Largely, yes. Zscaler's key differentiator here is its comprehensive multi-cloud and hybrid environment capability. Zscaler is designed to be vendor agnostic. Its whole purpose is to securely connect and protect anything to anything users anywhere, connecting to apps anywhere, whether they're in AWS, Azure, GCP, a private data center, or a SaaS platform. This truly holistic cross-environment approach, securing the connections regardless of where they start or end, is something the hyperscalers don't fully match today, especially for complex enterprises that inevitably operate across multiple clouds and still have on-premises systems.
So Zscaler provides the universal translator and security layer across all those different environments.
That's a good way to put it. It's definitely a long-term area to watch as the hyperscalers evolve. But for now, Zscaler maintains a distinct advantage with its comprehensive cloud-agnostic zero-trust delivery.
Okay, you mentioned SASE versus SSE earlier. You said it wasn't just jargon, but a fundamental strategic divide. Can you unpack that a bit more? Why is that distinction so important in these platform wars?
It's absolutely critical because it dictates go-to-market strategy and architectural approach. On one side, you have companies like Palo Alto Networks and Fortinet. They have a long history in networking hardware, firewalls, routers, SD-WAN appliances. They are aggressively pushing a single-vendor SASE vision.
Meaning one company provides both the networking and the security.
Exactly. Their pitch is all about simplicity and consolidation. Buy one integrated platform from us, they say, and we'll handle both your networking needs, like SD-WAN, which optimizes traffic routing between sites, and your security needs, the SCE part, for all your users and branches. It's an appealing message for organizations drowning in vendor complexity.
Okay, that's the single vendor pitch. How does Zscaler, which doesn't really do networking hardware, counter that?
Zscaler takes the opposite tack. They position themselves as the undisputed best-of-breed SA leader. They openly acknowledge they don't have native hardware SD-WAN. So their strategy is to partner deeply with a wide ecosystem of leading SD-WAN vendors, companies like Cisco, VMware, Fortinet itself, actually. They ensure seamless integration.
So their pitch is different.
Their pitch to enterprises is essentially, don't compromise on security, which is arguably the harder part. Choose the absolute best cloud security platform, Zscaler, and integrate it with your preferred best-of-breed networking solution, whether that's SD-WAN or something else.
It forces enterprises to make a strategic choice. Do you prioritize the simplicity of an all-in-one vendor, potentially accepting good enough security, or do you prioritize the best security and integrate it with your chosen networking?
Best-of-breed versus integrated suite, a classic IT dilemma. And Zscaler has a specific initiative to directly challenge that firewall-based SaaS model, right? The zero trust branch thing. Yes, this is a very clever and direct strategic countermove. Zscaler's zero trust branch offering is designed to provide secure connectivity for entire branch, offices, retail stores, factories, etc., without needing traditional, expensive firewall appliances on-site at each location.
How does that work? No firewall at the branch?
Instead of a firewall, they might use a simple router or an SD-WAN device to just forward all the branch traffic directly to the Zscaler cloud for inspection and policy enforcement, just like traffic from a mobile user. It essentially makes the branch just another connection point secured by the Zscaler cloud.
So they're trying to make the branch firewall redundant.
Exactly. It's Zscaler actively trying to disrupt and cannibalize an adjacent market, the massive market for branch office security appliances, which is core territory for companies like Palo Alto and Fortinet. It's a direct assault. This battleground, how to best secure the branch office in a cloud-first world, is absolutely critical to watch. It will really show which market vision, single-vendor SaaS, or best-of-breed SSE plus networking, gains more traction.
Fascinating. That really clarifies the competitive dynamics. Okay, let's pivot now to Zscaler's financial health. We've talked tech, market, strategy. How does it all add up on the balance sheet and income statement? What do their revenue and billings growth trends look like?
Well, historically, Zscaler has had an absolutely exceptional track record of sustained high revenue growth. Just look at their fiscal years, which end in July. For fiscal 2022, revenue grew an amazing 62%. Now, naturally, as the revenue base gets bigger, that percentage growth moderates a bit. It was still a very strong 48% in fiscal 2023 and 34% in fiscal 2024, hitting about $2.17 billion in total revenue.
Still growing over 30% at that scale is impressive.
Very impressive. It puts them firmly in the top tier of the entire enterprise software industry for sustained growth at scale.
And what about more recently? What are the latest indicators?
Looking at their third quarter of fiscal 2025, revenue grew a solid 23% year over year, reaching $678 million for the quarter. But maybe even more importantly, as a leading indicator for future revenue, is calculated billings.
Bill it. Oh, that's the value of new contracts signed, right?
Exactly. It represents new and renewal contracts invoiced during the quarter. Billings grew 25% year over year in Q3 FY25, hitting $785 million. What's interesting there is that 25% growth actually showed an acceleration compared to previous quarters.
Oh, so demand might be picking back up.
It suggests improving sales productivity and strong underlying demand, yeah. It definitely sets the stage for continued robust revenue recognition in the future.
Okay, so billings look good. What about even further out? Is there visibility into future contracted revenue? You mentioned RPO earlier.
Right, remaining performance obligations, or RPO. This provides even stronger visibility into the future. RPO represents the total value of contracted future revenue that hasn't been recognized yet. It's basically business already locked in. As of the end of April 2025, Zscaler's RPO stood at a massive $5.0
billion. $5
billion. Yep. And that was up a very healthy 30% year over year. That substantial RPO figure provides a really solid foundation and high visibility for their future growth. It tells you there's significant revenue already contracted for the coming years.
Okay. Top line growth is strong. Future visibility looks good. What about the bottom line? Profitability. Are they actually making money, or is it all just growth at any cost?
That's where their business model really shines on the efficiency side. A key hallmark of Zscaler's financials is their consistently excellent and stable gross margins. This flows directly from their scalable, multi-tenant cloud architecture. They consistently report non-GAAP gross margins in the 80% to 81%.
Right? 81% gross margin. That's incredibly high for almost any business.
It's truly best in class, especially for a SaaS company. It shows just how efficiently they can deliver their service once the core infrastructure is in place.
Okay, but I know high-growth tech companies often have GAAP losses because of heavy R&D spending and especially stock-based compensation. Has Zscaler managed to turn a GAAP profit yet as they've scaled?
That's been a key point of focus and progress for them. Historically, yes, they've had GAAP operating losses due to those heavy investments in growth and significant stock-based comp, but they've shown substantial improvement there. Their GAAP operating loss as a percentage of revenue has narrowed significantly. It was 15% back in fiscal 2023, but shrunk to just 6% in fiscal 2024.
So getting much closer to GAAP breakup.
Much closer. And importantly, on a non-GAAP basis, which excludes things like stock-based comp and amortization of acquired intangibles, giving a better view of operational cash profitability, they are highly profitable. Their non-GAAP operating income margin expanded from 15% of revenue in FY23 to 20% in FY24, and it hit an even more impressive 22% in Q3 of FY25.
22% non-GAAP operating margin plus strong growth. That's healthy.
Very healthy. And they actually hit a major milestone recently. They reported their first ever quarter of positive GAAP net income in the third quarter of fiscal 2024. That's a big symbolic and financial step for a company that's been so focused on growth, shows increasing financial maturity.
First GAAP profit, that is a big milestone. Okay, what about operating efficiency? That land and expand model needs good unit economics to work well long term. How do they stack up there?
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And their dollar-based net retention rate, NRR, which we talked about, is the prime indicator of that land and expand success. Historically, it was exceptionally high, often above 125%, which is truly elite territory for SaaS. While it's moderated a bit recently, as you'd expect when you get bigger, it was still a very healthy 114% in Q3 FY25.
Still meaning existing customers are growing spend by 14% year over year.
Exactly. That indicates high customer satisfaction, deep product adoption, they're successfully cross-selling and upselling, and it provides a powerful, consistent engine for durable growth. Customers are sticking around and spending more.
And what about the cost side of that? How efficient are they at acquiring these large customers in the first place? Is their sales and marketing spend effective?
Sales and marketing, or S&M, is definitely their biggest operating expense line item. It was just under $1 billion, $997.7 million, or about 46% of revenue in fiscal 2024. That sounds high, but importantly, it has actually trended down as a percentage of revenue. It was 51% back in fiscal 2022.
So they're getting more efficient as they scale, getting more revenue bang for their S&M buck.
It indicates improving sales efficiency, yes. As they get bigger, as their brand recognition grows, as the market understands Zero Trust better, they seem to be getting better leverage on their sales spend. When you combine that improving S&M efficiency with their sky-high gross margins and what management says are very high gross retention rates in the high 90s% range, it strongly suggests a very healthy customer lifetime value to customer acquisition cost, LTV-CAC ratio.
LTV-CAC, meaning they make way more money from a customer over their lifetime than it costs to acquire them.
Precisely. The benchmark for a healthy SaaS business is usually an LTV-CAC ratio above 3.1. Zscaler is almost certainly well above that. These strong unit economics are fundamental. They mean Zscaler is generating significant long-term value for every dollar they invest in acquiring and expanding customer relationships.
Okay, good unit economics, strong growth, improving profitability. What about actual cash flow? Are they generating real cash, or is some of that profit just on paper due to accounting?
No, they are a highly efficient cash-generating machine despite those historical GAAP losses. Their free cash flow, FCF, which is basically the cash left over after running the business and investing and maintaining assets, has grown robustly. Their FCF margin, FCF as a percentage of revenue, expanded significantly from 21% in FY23 to 27% in FY24, and it hit an impressive 28.8% in Q3 of FY25.
Wow, nearly 29% free cash flow margin. That's strong.
Very strong. And this ability to combine high revenue growth, say 23% recently, with strong free cash flow margins, say 29%, means they consistently operate well above the famous Rule of 40.
The Rule of 40, remind me.
It's a quick benchmark for SaaS health. Revenue growth rate plus free cash flow margin. If it's above 40%, the company is considered to be performing well, balancing growth and profitability effectively. Zscaler, with numbers like 23% growth plus 29% FCF margin, is comfortably above 50%. They often even exceed the Rule of 60, which is seen as truly exceptional territory. It's a clear sign of outstanding financial health and operational efficiency.
Rule of 60 Club. Okay. And what about their overall cash reserves? Do they have a strong balance sheet to fund future growth or weather storms?
Absolutely. They maintain a remarkably strong and liquid balance sheet. As of the end of April 2025, Zscaler reported having a substantial $3.0 billion in cash, cash equivalents, and short-term investments.
$3 billion in the bank.
Yep. That significant cash hoard gives them enormous financial flexibility. They can continue to invest aggressively in R&D and sales. They can pursue those strategic tuck-in acquisitions we'll talk about. And they can navigate any potential economic downturns without needing to borrow money or issue more stock. It's a real war chest for future growth and resilience.
Okay, that paints a very solid financial picture indeed. So looking ahead now, given this strong foundation, the tech, the market position, the financials, how does Zscaler plan to keep the engine running? How do they fuel future growth and maintain their leadership?
Well, job number one is just keep that land and expand flywheel spinning faster. That remains the primary engine. They need to keep driving growth within their massive existing customer base. That means both upselling, getting customers to buy more advanced features or higher tiers of the products they already use, like adding more ZIA threat protection.
Squeezing more value out of existing deployments.
Right. And critically, cross-selling entirely new product pillars into that base. A customer who started with ZIA for secure internet access is often a perfect candidate to add ZPA to replace their old VPNs. Or maybe add ZDX to improve employee digital experience. Or add the new data protection suite to tackle GenAI risks.
And they actually put a number on that potential within their base, didn't they? Something like a 6x opportunity.
They did. Management has stated they see a potential 6x upsell opportunity just within their user-focused pillars, like ZIA, ZPA, ZDX. That suggests a huge runway for growth just by penetrating their existing large customers more deeply. There's a lot more value they believe they can unlock there.
And we see evidence of that working.
Yes, the consistent growth in those high-spending customers, the ones with over $1 million in ARR, that number was up 23% year over year in Q3 FY25, reaching 642 customers. That's direct, tangible proof that the flywheel is spinning effectively, and large customers are consolidating more of their security spend onto the Zscaler platform.
Okay, so deepening relationships is key. But they're also expanding the types of products they offer, moving into new territory. That must be crucial for growing their overall market opportunity.
Absolutely. These strategic product expansions are critical for increasing their total addressable market, TM, and also for deepening their competitive moat, making them even stickier. And these emerging products are already making a real difference. They contributed 18% of new business sales back in FY23. That grew to 22% in FY24. And management projected it would hit the mid-20s% range in FY25.
So nearly a quarter of new business is coming from these newer areas already. That's fast adoption.
It signals really strong market acceptance beyond just their core ZIA and ZPA offerings. Customers are buying into the broader platform vision.
Can you give us a couple of prime examples again of these emerging products and why they're strategically important? ZDX, maybe?
Yeah, Zscaler Digital Experience, ZDX, is a great example of strategic expansion. As we touched on, it moves Zscaler beyond just pure cybersecurity. By giving IT visibility into user experience and application performance, it helps diagnose those tricky, why is this app slow, problems. This elevates Zscaler's relevance. It's not just a tool for the CISO anymore. It becomes a valuable operational and productivity tool for the CIO and the entire IT department. It addresses business continuity and employee satisfaction.
So broader appeal within the enterprise. What about securing the cloud infrastructure itself, not just users accessing it?
That's the Zero Trust for Workloads initiative.
Yeah.
This is a major push to secure the communication between applications and servers, both in public clouds like AWS Azure and in traditional data centers. This pushes Zscaler firmly into the large and growing markets for cloud workload protection platforms, CWPP, and microsegmentation. It's about applying zero trust principles inside the data center or cloud, preventing threats from spreading between servers, which is a huge attack vector.
Another big market expansion. And you mentioned data protection being hot right now.
Red hot. Data protection is currently one of their fastest growing areas. The explosion of generative AI has made CSOs acutely aware of the risk of sensitive corporate data leaking into public AI models or other unauthorized places. Zscaler's tools help organizations discover where their sensitive data is, classify it, and apply policies to prevent leakage or unauthorized access. It directly addresses a top-of-mind CISO concern right now.
Makes sense. Beyond new products, are they also pushing for growth geographically or in specific industries?
Definitely. Geographically, while roughly half their revenue already comes from outside the Americas, there's still significant untapped potential to go deeper in key international markets, particularly across EMEA, Europe, Middle East, Africa, APJ, Asia Pacific, Japan. They're investing in building out their presence and partner networks there.
And the public sector, government contracts.
The public sector has been a huge success story, especially in the U.S. federal government. That 2021 White House executive order mandating federal agencies adopt zero trust was a massive tailwind. Zscaler moved quickly and has won contracts with 12 out of the 15 U.S. cabinet-level agencies. That's impressive penetration. Now they're actively taking that playbook, the certifications, the expertise, and replicating it to target government contracts in other countries.
Leveraging that federal success globally, smart. Are they specializing by industry too?
Yes, they're increasingly sharpening their focus on vertical specialization, targeting key industries like financial services, healthcare, manufacturing, retail. This involves hiring industry experts who really understand the unique security challenges, the specific compliance regulations like IPA in healthcare or PCI in finance, and the operational needs of those sectors. It allows for a more tailored message and solution, leading to deeper traction.
We've also seen them making acquisitions. What's the strategy there? Are they buying revenue or something else?
Their approach is quite disciplined. They focus on strategic tuck-in acquisitions. They're generally not buying large companies for market share or revenue. Instead, they target smaller, often early-stage technology companies. The main goals are usually twofold. First, to accelerate their own product roadmap by acquiring innovative technology they can integrate quickly. Second, to acquire specialized engineering talent in key emerging areas.
So, buying tech and talent, not just customers or revenue. Can you give some recent examples of these tuck-ins?
Sure. In 2024, they acquired two companies, Avalor and Airgap Networks. Avalor significantly boosted their data security capabilities, particularly bringing in data security posture management, DSPM, technology, which helps companies find and secure sensitive data across all their systems. Airgap Networks brought tech related to zero trust segmentation within local area networks, LANs, directly supporting that zero trust branch strategy by helping secure internal networks without traditional firewalls.
Okay, bolstering data security and branch security. Any other notable ones?
A more significant one came in May 2025 with the acquisition of Red Canary for a reported $675 million. Red Canary is a well-respected leader in managed detection and response, MDR, and advanced threat hunting. This acquisition seems explicitly aimed at accelerating Zscaler's capabilities in AI-powered security operations, SecOps. It allows them to offer more advanced threat detection and response services directly from their platform, helping customers not just block known threats, but also rapidly identify and neutralize sophisticated, ongoing attacks.
That Red Canary deal sounds like a bigger step towards becoming a broader security operations platform.
It certainly seems like a move in that direction, yes. Integrating advanced detection and response capabilities directly into the platform that sees all the traffic makes a lot of sense.
So all these moves, the product expansions, the acquisitions, the vertical focus seem to be feeding into this bigger strategic pivot you mentioned earlier, zero trust everywhere. Can you just reiterate what that means and why it's so crucial for Zscaler's future?
Right, this zero trust everywhere concept is really fundamental to understanding Zscaler's long-term strategy. They built their initial huge success, as we discussed, primarily securing user application and user to internet connections, protecting people accessing stuff. But as that core market inevitably matures, they need to expand the scope. Zero trust everywhere is about taking those same core principles, never trust, always verify, enforce least privilege that works so well for users, and applying them consistently to every connection point, every interaction, every digital asset across the entire enterprise, regardless of location or type.
So not just users, but servers talking to servers, IoT devices, branch offices, the whole shebang.
Exactly, the whole shebang. The Zero Trust for Workloads pillar, for instance, takes the fight directly into the data center and the cloud, securing that east-west traffic between applications and microservices. That dramatically expands their addressable market and puts them in competition with a whole new set of players in the workload security space.
And the Zero Trust branch is the direct attack on the firewall, guys.
Precisely. It's a direct assault on the core business of the legacy network security vendors. By offering secure branch connectivity without needing expensive boxes at every site, Zscaler aims to disrupt and capture a huge adjacent market, fueling its next wave of growth by displacing those older hardware-centric solutions.
So this zero trust everywhere isn't just marketing fluff. It's a necessary strategic expansion to keep growing fast and to build a more comprehensive platform story against rivals like Palo Alto, who claim to do it all.
You've got it. It's a strategic imperative. It allows them to significantly increase their TAM. It further embeds their platform deep within customer operations, which raises those switching costs even higher. And critically, it builds a much more comprehensive platform narrative. It allows them to counter the all-in-one claims from their biggest competitors by showing they too can offer a broad, integrated zero-trust platform, but one built on what they argue is a superior cloud-native foundation. The acquisitions are essentially tactical moves to accelerate the execution of this broader strategic vision. It's about becoming the foundational security layer for the entire enterprise.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense strategically. We've covered a huge amount of ground, the tech, the market, the strategy, the financials. But no company is without risks, especially in a sector as dynamic and competitive as cybersecurity. What are the key challenges or headwinds Zscaler faces? Let's maybe start with the recent past, that 2022-2024 period. What specific challenges did they encounter then?
Yeah, that period, 2022 into early 2024, was definitely marked by a tougher macroeconomic climate globally. We had rising interest rates, inflation worries, recession fears. For Zscaler, the most direct impact was elongated sales cycles.
Meaning deals just took longer to close.
Exactly. Enterprises everywhere became much more cautious with their IT spending. Budgets got tighter, and especially large, multi-million-dollar transformative security projects faced more scrutiny, more approval layers. Deals weren't necessarily being lost to competitors, according to Zscaler, but they were definitely taking longer to get signed off.
Well, that must put some pressure on their quarterly numbers, causing some lumpiness.
It certainly did. It had a noticeable impact on billings growth in certain quarters, as some large deals expected to close got pushed out into the next quarter. It created some unevenness. However, there was a fascinating paradoxical catalyst here.
Oh.
While the macro pressure slowed deal velocity, it actually ended up reinforcing Zscaler's long-term value proposition in many ways. When CFOs started scrutinizing every dollar of spending, CIOs and CISOs were forced to take a hard look at the true total cost of ownership, or TCO, of their existing, often complex and fragmented, legacy security infrastructure.
Ah, so the cost of running all those old boxes and licenses became more apparent?
Exactly. And Zscaler's pitch, which includes vendor consolidation, simplifying operations, reducing hardware footprint, potentially lowering overall costs, became even more compelling during those budget-conscious times. It allowed them to shift the conversation from just security features to tangible financial benefits and return on investment, ROI, which resonated strongly with finance departments.
Interesting. So the downturn, weirdly, might have helped validate their economic value proposition. What about competition during that tougher period? Did rivals get more aggressive?
Yes. The period also saw a definite uptick in competitive intensity. Competitors, particularly the big platform players like Palo Alto Networks, became noticeably more aggressive with their single-vendor SaaS marketing campaigns. There were reports of more aggressive pricing tactics and bundling deals designed to lock customers into their broader ecosystem and displace point solutions like Zscaler might initially represent.
So more direct price wars and platform battles.
It certainly created more noise in the market and forced Zscaler to be even clearer in articulating its architectural advantages, its performance benefits, and those long-term TCO savings compared to bundled, potentially less optimized approaches. The battle for the strategic narrative definitely intensified.
Okay. Given this backdrop, strong growth, but intense competition and macro pressures, How should we think about Zscaler's valuation? It always seems to trade at high multiples. Is traditional price to earnings, PE, even relevant here?
You're right. PE isn't the best metric, especially on a trailing basis, given their history of gap losses driven by investment and stock comp. For high growth companies like Zscaler, investors typically focus more on multiples based on revenue and increasingly cash flow, as these better reflect their growth trajectory and underlying profitability.
So what kind of multiples are we talking about, price to sales?
Exactly. As of around mid-2025, Zscaler was trading at a trailing 12-month price to sales, PS ratio, and enterprise value to sales, EV sales ratio, somewhere in the range of 16x to 17x.
16 to 17 times sales. How does that stack up historically for them or against their peers? Is that high-low average?
Well, it's certainly high in absolute terms compared to the broader market,
yeah.
But for Zscaler, it actually represents a significant compression from the peak multiples seen back in the tech bubble days of 2021, when its PS ratio soared above 50x. Their longer-term, say 5-year average PS ratio is closer to 27x. So 1617X is actually below their historical average, but still undeniably reflects a premium valuation commanded by a leader in a high-growth market.
What about comparing it to cash flow? You mentioned they generate a lot of cash.
Yeah, looking at price-to-free cash flow, PFCF, is informative. In early 2024, that multiple was around 68X. Again, that's a demanding multiple. It clearly shows the market has very high expectations baked in for continued strong growth in both revenue and those expanding free cash flow margins we discussed. Investors are paying up for future growth.
How does this premium valuation compare directly to their main competitors, like Palo Alto or Fortinet or other cloud darlings?
When you compare Zscaler to the more established network security incumbents like Palo Alto Networks, Banw, and Fortinet, FTNT, Zscaler consistently trades at a significant valuation premium. For instance, if Zscaler is around 17x PS, Banw might be closer to 13x, and FTNT maybe 12x. This premium clearly reflects the market awarding Zscaler for its higher growth rate and its perceived leadership in the more modern cloud-native segment of the security market.
So price higher than the legacy guys. How about against other high-growth cloud peers like CrowdStrike?
That comparison is more nuanced. Compared to other elite, high-growth, cloud-native SaaS companies like CrowdStrike or maybe Datadog, Zscaler's valuation multiples, like PS, are often a bit lower. This generally reflects Zscaler having a slightly lower, though still very strong, top-line growth rate compared to those hyper-growth names, but it's still firmly within that premium tier. The overall interpretation is clear. The market views Zscaler as a top-tier, high-growth software company, a leader in a critical, expanding market, and it assigns a premium valuation accordingly.
Okay, so that premium valuation is basically betting on continued excellence and high growth, which naturally leads to the question, what are the key risks our listeners should really keep an eye on? What could potentially derail Zscaler's trajectory or justify a lower valuation?
There are several critical risks inherent in their business and market. First and foremost is that intense competition we've discussed. It's not going away. Larger competitors with deeper pockets and broader portfolios like Palo Alto will continue to use aggressive pricing, bundling, and platform strategies to trick and win deals. Zscaler absolutely must continue to innovate rapidly just to stay ahead.
Constant innovation is table stakes. What else?
Second is market adoption and execution risk. Zscaler's entire future depends on enterprises continuing to aggressively adopt zero-trust architectures. Any slowdown in that broader market shift would impact them. And internally, they need to continue executing flawlessly on their sales strategy, especially managing and enabling that crucial channel partner network effectively. Missteps in execution could definitely hurt growth.
And you mentioned earlier they process all the traffic. That sounds like a huge operational risk if something goes wrong.
Absolutely paramount. Platform availability and potential security breaches are perhaps the most significant, almost existential, risks. Because Zscaler is an inline service, all customer traffic flows through their ZENs. Any major service interruption or outage would be incredibly disruptive for customers. And worse, if Zscaler's own systems were ever breached, the damage to customer trust and their reputation would be devastating. They have to be Fort Knox.
The security company getting hacked is the nightmare scenario.
The ultimate nightmare. Linked to that is the constant need to maintain the pace of innovation. Cybersecurity threats evolve incredibly quickly, especially now with AI being used by both attackers and defenders. Zscaler have to keep investing heavily in R&D just to keep pace, let alone stay ahead. If their tech falls behind, they lose their edge fast.
And that premium valuation we just talked about, that's a risk in itself, isn't it?
It absolutely is. The premium valuation sensitivity means the stock price is highly dependent on the company continuing to deliver high growth and meet or beat those lofty market expectations quarter after quarter. Any significant deceleration in growth, any unexpected margin pressure, or any failure to meet guidance could trigger a very rapid and steep decline in the stock price. High expectations cut both ways.
One last risk factor often mentioned with tech companies. Stock-based compensation.
Yes, that's relevant here too. Stock-based compensation, SBC, is a significant non-cash expense for Zscaler, as it is for many tech companies, used to attract and retain top talent. While it doesn't impact cash flow directly, it does lead to dilution for existing shareholders over time, meaning each share represents a slightly smaller piece of the pie. Investors need to monitor the level of SBC and its impact on overall shareholder returns.
Okay, quite a few risks to keep in mind alongside the opportunities. So if we wanted to boil all this down for our listeners, if they just want to track a few key things to get a quick read on Zscaler's health and direction, what are the absolute essential metrics to watch?
To really keep a pulse on Zscaler, I'd focus on these key areas. First, top-line momentum. Keep a close eye on calculated billings growth and remaining performance obligations. RPO growth. These are your best leading indicators for future revenue. Are they accelerating or decelerating? And of course, watch the headline revenue growth rate itself. Is it meeting expectations?
Okay, billings, RPO, revenue growth, got it. What about customer success?
Second, customer success and adoption. The dollar-based net retention rate, NRR, is absolutely crucial. It's staying healthy, ideally above 110%. That shows the land and expand model is working. Also, monitor the growth in large customers, those $1 ARR, are they adding more big spenders? And track the increasing contribution from emerging products, is that percentage growing? That signals the success of the broader Zero Trust Everywhere platform strategy.
NRR, big customer growth, emerging product mix, okay? And finally, profitability and efficiency.
Third, profitability and efficiency. Watch the free cash flow, FCF margin. Is it stable or expanding? How are they performing against that rule of 40 or 60? Yeah. That shows cash generation power. Also, track the non-GAAP operating margin. Is it showing continued operating leverage as they scale? And keep an eye on sales and marketing expense as a percentage of revenue. Is their customer acquisition getting more efficient over time? Together, these metrics give you a really comprehensive picture of Zscaler's operational health and future trajectory.
Fantastic summary. Wow. We have really taken a deep dive today into Zscaler Inc., a company that's truly at the vanguard, right at the forefront of this massive shift in how we approach cybersecurity.
It really is a paradigm shift.
Yeah, from tearing down that obsolete castle and moat idea to understanding the nuts and bolts of their Zero Trust Exchange, we've seen how they didn't just spot the trend, but really established themselves as leaders defining the space.
We looked at that strategic Zero Trust Everywhere pivot, the intense platform wars they're fighting.
Their really impressive financial performance, but also balance that with the real risks involved and the high expectations built into that premium valuation.
And fundamentally, that core idea, never trust, always verify, it's not just tech jargon. It's a completely different way of thinking about how we secure everything in our digital lives now that the perimeter is gone. It's security that has to follow the user, follow the data, follow the application, wherever it might be.
Absolutely. And as these platform wars continue to heat up, and as artificial intelligence keeps reshaping both the threats we face and the defenses we build at just an incredible pace, it really raises a big question for you, our listener, to ponder. What other radical changes might we see in how enterprises build and manage their security in the next, say, 5 or 10 years? How will companies like Zscaler have to keep adapting, keep innovating, to lead in a world where literally every connection point everywhere demands zero trust? What stood out to you as the most surprising or maybe the most impactful insight from our deep dive today?
Lots to think about. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.
Until next time.